Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
I'm not muted. Jack's muted. I'm not muted. This is the pre-show of the Wrestling Inc. podcast. If you're listening live right now, the countdown's going. Look at that. There's 30 seconds left before we start the show. It's almost there. I know you're anxious. You're all filing in, trying to get a good seat. See you there in the front row. And you over there. Nice hat. Oh, you. Wow, you're tall. Did you ever wrestle? In the back. Yeah, you. Looking good tonight. It's going to be a good show. It's a good NXT. That sign there, it says applesauce. You're all a really big part of the show. Remember, the better you are, the better we are. That being said, 2-1.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Tuesday, and that means it's time for the Wrestling Inc. NXT After Show. And have we got a show for you now that we're done with that awkward 1-minute countdown of silence. We've got contract signings. We've got new number one contenders. And we've got the return of an old friendly face at NXT. But before we get into all that, allow me to introduce the crew. I'm Jack Farmer, being joined by Glenn. Pal, buddy, friend, we rarely get to hang out anymore.
I know, it's great. It's Tuesday. Wrestling's happening. And lots of news today.
You know, we got some big news today, too. I feel like it's almost cliche to say now, but some of the biggest news that we've had.
Well, let's build up. Let's build up to the big news today regarding Raw and its new home. I don't know if you know this, the biggest news today in the Johnson family is that Ava Raine, or just now Ava, is the general manager of NXT.
No, skipping ahead. That's for the show.
Oh, wait, I'm getting something. Wait, really? On the same day? Oh, my God, even bigger news in the Johnson family. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has been added to the board of directors for TKO for $30 million to be paid over this year and next year. Really upstaging Ava's big news today.
I mean, the jokes have been made, Glenn, that when The Rock said he was going to sit at the head of the table, this is the table he was talking about. This is just surreal fake news. I know that the comparison to the WWE brand and Succession, that comparison has been made multiple times, but it feels like every month something else happens that makes me think, this is better than anything Succession could write. Yeah. This feels, I'm telling my friends about it, Glenn, and they're like, is it real or is it one of those storylines? I'm like, no, this is real. The Rock is one of the board member for TKO. It's crazy, yeah. Glenn.
No, it's absolutely nuts. And my thought, after being very happy, by the way, he gains the rights to the name The Rock as part of this deal, in addition to the $30 million.
Right.
Poor Cody, because I think Cody ain't finishing the story of this WrestleMania. But Survivor Series, that's still my prediction. But the first thing that went in my mind was John Cena. The news came out today via ET Online that, oh, he's going to retire by 50. And if I'm John or any other WWE legend, like, my price tag just went up based on this Rock news.
Yeah. This is the thing that is so weird about it to me with this news, too, is how rare is it that someone is added to a board of directors and is paid for it, as opposed to having to buy shares or somehow muscle your way in? They're trying to get him, as opposed to him trying to muscle his way in. That's so backwards typically to how this kind of stuff happens in boardrooms.
Yeah. And I think technically he's being paid for being a brand ambassador, I believe, for 2 years. And the board seat comes along with that. Maybe they're paying him in stock, which, by the way, today, WWE stock, not at an all-time high, but rebounding from the slump it was in after the SmackDown rights were announced. And maybe our next story, the, in fact, biggest story of the day, has something to do with that, Jack.
Yeah, lots of stuff happening with WWE. And of course, it's weird. It's almost like they're undercutting their own stories here. You know, I feel like any other place would have separated this by a week or something like that so that you could let some things breathe. I feel like, if this was a real story, Jimmy Corderas would be on here, like, you got to let it breathe a little bit. Let the moments happen. But yeah, it was announced that Raw is moving, and it's moving to Netflix in January of 2025. As it states, the long-term partnership will see the Red brand initially broadcast on the streaming platform in the U.S., the U.K., Canada, and Latin America. More countries will be added in the future. Additionally, Netflix will become the home of all weekly WWE shows, as well as premium live events such as WrestleMania and for international fans. Deals reportedly worth $5 billion over 10 years, and it means that WWE will earn $500 million a year from this new agreement, which is insane. It's up from, it's said to be worth up to $260 million per year, which is the current deal, I should say, is $260. Crazy numbers to go on to Netflix. And it sounds like long term, it'll finally be a one stop shop for all WWE stuff down the road, not in 2025. But also, Glenn, this seems to be what we've all sort of been forecasting for a long time, and that is one day wrestling will move to streaming platforms.
Yeah, and it's crazy given that SmackDown is going to the USA Network, NXT is going to the CW. Mm-hmm. To get that coveted youth demo. And now Raw, Monday Night Raw, is going to streaming. I was thinking about this earlier, and this is even... This surpasses, I think, the biggest thing that ever happened like this before was when Howard Stern went to satellite radio to have something that was available free to go behind a paywall. And this is like that times 100.
Yeah, this is huge. And it shows, I think, in my mind, two things. One, that WWE, we talk about the stories and stuff that they've been doing, and it's been great TV. But I feel like the past few years, they have so much so upped their game as far as being media giants and moving beyond pro wrestling. I mean, obviously that's their bread and butter, but tying in with UFC, the Netflix deal, all these merchandise deals, these international deals, they are going on such a different level as far as who they are as a media company. It's insane. And I think what is so great for them now is if it's all on Netflix and it's all, they're getting paid, no one could watch their show, but they're getting paid for the next however many years. They're set there. So now they can build their business around making sure the events are interesting. They don't have to say, well, we got to pop numbers this day, or we got to do this that day. They can really work at their own pace as well. This is a perfect situation for a wrestling company.
I wish Justin LaBar was here tonight, because I'm sure Vince McMahon today was saying, well, we make movies, pal. Granted, they're direct to streaming, but they're movies nonetheless. Okay, so a couple interesting developments. If you have a higher tier of Netflix, no ads during Raw has been revealed. Ads will be on the lower tier of a Netflix subscription, maybe the ad-supported Netflix subscriptions. That's interesting. Will Raw be on 3 hours? Will it be on Monday night? We don't know. This is going to be a big change. And as I saw pointed out today, credit to Raj Giri, who and others who noted this on Twitter, their deal with USA is up like in October of 2024, meaning they've got 3 months potentially without a set home. Will there finally be an offseason? Probably not.
That'll be an interesting. I got a feeling they'll figure something out to fill in that gap. I got a feeling it'll just end up staying on USA or something, but again, we'll see. But you're right, because if it's not on typical TV, if it's on Netflix, then how long Raw is doesn't matter. It could be 2 hours. It could be 3.5 hours. They're not going to have that. You know, we're going to keep going as long as we need to at the end of the show, because you're going to go until the event's over. Which also, I think, will be really great for things like promos. It'll be easier for timing, I would imagine, because you're now no longer butting up against a, look, we got to wrap the show up in 5 minutes because something else went long or whatever the case is. That is essentially gone, because that's not how it's going to be anymore. But also, I think it's going to be easier for people to watch the show.
Yeah.
Because it's easier on streaming. It's a pain going to be on cable, or I'm on Peacock, which is essentially the same thing. And it's a headache. Like, you got to go to this different place to watch it. And I don't know how no commercials are going to work, though. I have a feeling that the no commercials version is just going to be, you're going to watch a merch ad for 2 minutes.
Yeah. Or 2 minutes of rest holds, you know. Like,
but that means too, what I love is you're not going to get picture in picture, which kills me. It's my least favorite thing in wrestling right now. And every company in the world is just overdoing it with this picture in picture shenanigans, Glenn. It kills me.
I know it's overused. But this is, man, I feel like this has happened so many days in the last 2 years, you could say, or the biggest day in wrestling news.
Yeah.
Vince bought WCW. And I feel like we've had like 4 or 5 of those.
It's been happening so fast. And I always say, especially with how good wrestling is right now, people need to absolutely embrace like this fun time, because as we know, as wrestling fans, we talk about when Vince bought WCW, we know that you can have this boom period where everything's fun, there's news happening, people are jumping back and forth, all the storylines are great, and then suddenly you're in a drought and it's not interesting for a long time. So I hope everybody enjoys it while they can, but we do want to get to the show and talk about what happened on tonight's NXT. But before we do, I always like to take a moment to just say thank you to everyone who's watching. Make sure to like, comment, share, subscribe, leave a 5-star review while you're at it. Leave a lot of nice comments, because I know a lot of you came to see Issa, but you're stuck with me here instead. I mean,
handsome Jack Farmer isn't, you know, such a downer.
Well, we got J.R. Smith, by the way, with the super chat saying, nice. Hope you two are doing well. Issa, safe travels, mommy. But also, I want to give a shout out to J.R. Smith for being here. Of course, we got Killer of Demons, we got Laura Rock, Ricky Zaldivar, Beer Money, Tommy O, Baxter, Alicia A, Mike Rouse in the house, we got Cleveland Rocks, Baby Ice, Stalking You, and Jax. Where have you been? I haven't seen
Bigfoot
you.
Bigfoot Sneakerhead, haven't seen you in like a good day now.
Bigfoot Sneakerhead, lots of people. We got Nick in the chat as well. Lots of folks. Good to see you guys back here. We appreciate you showing up. Always grateful for you, but let's talk about an episode of NXT that I thought was pretty interesting. We start off hot and heavy with Baron Corbin and Bron Breakker teaming up against Axiom and Nathan Frazier. This one, wildly entertaining. I thought this was a fantastic match, Glenn. I thought every person in this match took time wisely and made themselves look like stars. But what say you?
Well, the wolf dogs are in full effect, and Baron Corbin coming out tonight wearing Bron Breakker's wolf head, which was phenomenal to see this evening. Baron Corbin is great, especially when you give him the right gimmick or the right pairing. And this is making me like Bron Breakker. No, nay, this is making me love Bron Breakker, this pairing between the two of them. And they had a great hard-hitting match. We knew they were going to win. And here's where I'm at now. Tony D'Angelo, I know he's going through some things. I think that the D'Angelo family needs to pull some strings. I want Braun and Baron, because they're winning, tricking Carmelo for the story to progress that they're telling. They need to have some turmoil. But I want Braun and Baron to challenge the Judgment Day for the main roster tag titles. And in fact, I'm almost wondering if this is how you bring Bron Breakker up to the main roster. Because honestly, this is giving him personality we have never seen.
You know, I'm glad you said this about Bron Breakker, because as I was writing this, it's so funny you I think when we are fantasy booking and we're talking about wrestlers and they're coming up, we're like, you got to have them come in and dominate, come in and win the Royal Rumble their first day, or come in and beat the champion, or run through everybody, or give them an undefeated streak. And that's kind of what Bron Breakker did. And I like Bron Breakker. I've been big on him since day one, but I'm telling you, this comedy stuff he's doing, this kind of goofy stuff, that it has shown me more about the future of Bron Breakker than I think any, like, being a bad guy, any like undefeated streak could ever do, because now I can see him interacting with a whole world of wrestlers, where before he was always just like, okay, well, you're that guy that's going to beat people, and that's sort of it. Where now I'm like, this guy can be entertaining backstage. These guys, Braun and Baron, I want them to stay together as a team. And I know a lot of people are like, well, eventually one of them is going to turn on the other. Sure. No, I don't want that to happen. I just want them to be a team. I want them to stick together. I want them to go the distance. I mean, maybe not 10 years, not the New Day, but I want them to be like a team. I feel like they are so entertaining together, and they work together so well. And I mean, on every level on this, they're entertaining on the microphone. They're entertaining as characters. They're entertaining on what they're going to do. Also, for the wrestling fans, they killed it in this match so good as well. This was incredible. The whole thing clicked.
You know what you do when you bring them up? You don't have them turn on each other in the traditional way. You have it be like a Rocky V situation where Baron is a seasoned veteran, and then people are like getting in Braun's ear and like, he's taking advantage of you, kid. Why isn't he doing this? Why isn't he doing this? And you have them kind of fall apart in a different way than usual. But I could almost see even Baron not only being backup, but I mean, man, you just get them together. Braun opens up. It's so weird how he seemed up until this, I used to say, a sixth tier senior in NXT.
Yeah.
Like, he's been here too long and something's still not clicking on his promos. And this is just giving him it, man. He's having fun. Baron Corbin is like the extra virgin olive oil of professional wrestling. He just goes with everything and enhances the flavor.
Yeah. Baron Corbin, I think, is definitely one of those guys we're going to look back on in a way that we look back on like a Mr. Perfect, where we're like, man, he maybe not, and that was never the champion, but he was so entertaining while he was around. And everyone and everything he does, Baron Corbin's interesting to see work with. And he's another guy that can take it from very serious, I hate this guy, to goofy, to fun. You can plug him in anywhere. He's like a Swiss Army knife of people you can use in pro wrestling. But I want to give a little bit of love too to Frazier and Axiom here. I agree with you. I didn't think at any moment that they were going to actually win this match because of the way everything's set up. And it's no shot to them, it's just the way it's set up. But though, like, Frazier, he truly does things that no one else does, or that no one else chooses. Like, he goes so fast in that ring when he hits the ropes, when he flies off of things. And I think Axiom, as an entertaining masked wrestler, and they seem to really want some entertaining masked wrestlers, I think it's one of the most entertaining masked wrestlers they have. I think that these guys, are they going to be the NXT champion next week? No. But as a people you have as a backbone of your roster, Frazier and Axiom are invaluable on NXT.
Yeah. No, I think they're doing very well, but it's just, there's so much momentum right now with Braun and Baron. We just knew that this was going to happen. Alicia is saying it's a tag team we didn't know we needed. And by the way, I think the main roster, man, I know they have high hopes for Braun. I know Braun's going to be a big single star one day, but right now he'd be lost in the shuffle. If you brought him up to the main roster right now, this is a game of musical chairs, and there ain't enough chairs for all the future world champions right now on the main roster.
I always say, and like, we have a shorty in the chat saying Braun should take the title off Roman. I always say, I think that would be the worst thing you could do to a Bron Breakker. I think something we saw, particularly with Cena and what we saw with Roman at first, is WWE fans, we don't like it when you tell us who the next guy is and you force it on us. You saw it with Austin Theory as well. But I think, Glenn, to your point, you have him eventually. I don't even want to see him get called right away now. I want to see him be this tag team for a little bit in NXT. But you have him come up as a tag team member. You have them have fun. You have us get to know him. And make us get to the point where we're like, when are you going to make Bron Breakker the guy? And then when he's the guy, we're like, finally, thank you. He's the guy. But if you just have him come in and make him like, okay, this is your world champion, we're going to reject him like we do with everyone else that's been brought in that way.
And then when Corbin, when he leaves Corbin, eventually, Corbin goes into a deep depression and loses all his money again. And we get bum ass Corbin.
I feel like you could give Corbin anything, and you could make him karaoke Corbin, and he'll find a way to make
karaoke
it
Corbin. That could be pretty solid.
Which is actually just bum ass Corbin with a microphone.
No, he goes to karaoke, but he's the guy that does November Rain, so people got to wait 11 minutes for him to finish the song.
And he's not good.
And he sings the guitar solos while doing air guitar. Karaoke Corbin, I think you're onto something.
Yeah, I think that'll be the next move. You can thank me, guys, when you bring that new character out. But before we move on, I want to give a quick shout out to Gigi Granda in the chat, who's one of our lurkers tonight. Yeah. Shout out to all the lurkers. Those of you who are hanging out but not in the chat, appreciate if you hop in the chat. But guess what? If you're just hanging out, that's cool too. Always good to see you. Or I guess I don't see you, but good to know you're there. We talked about The Rock earlier. You know, we talk about big returns over the past few years. The biggest return, I think, in the past whatever amount of time in pro wrestling, William Regal comes back out, and he officially anoints Eva Rain as the official NXT general manager. He gives Eva Rain his blessing. Glenn, what I like about this is, one, it's now official. She's no longer just this person hanging out outside of Shawn Michaels' door. But I think him giving her the blessing makes us fans stop saying William Regal should be the guy. But also, I got a feeling he's going to stir up some trouble for old Eva Rain eventually.
Do you know?
Yeah, I do. I've got a feeling there's a group we're going to talk about near the end of the show that he's going to get associated with that's going to make life a little tough for her. I feel like this is one of those things where he's giving her the old, big shoes to fill. You'll be okay. And then he eventually does something nasty because he's William Regal.
I still think Joe Gacy and Ava might have a link, and this is the schism takeover of NXT.
Interesting. That is a fascinating. I'm going to have you hold that thought until we get to the Joe Gacy part, because I want you to dive into this a little more. I haven't heard this theory yet, but I have a theory. I've got a conspiracy theory going on, and it's about our next segment here. Rin Sinclair.
Yeah.
Getting ready for her new her debut one-on-one match. She's nervous about it. She's scared. Fallon Henley's there. Like, don't worry about it. Like, you got friends looking out for you. Things are good. She has her match with Lash Legend. Legend gets the win. Metaphor's about to attack her. Fallon Henley's there. This is what I think. This is what I think, Glenn. And you need to know something about me. My name, I'm Jack Farmer. Okay. Jack Farmer. And if there's one thing I hate, one thing us farmers hate, it's ranchers. And so I think Fallon Henley is here just trying to find a way to trick Rin Sinclair into working on her ranch the way she did to Tiffany Stratton. These sneaky ranchers, Glenn, you can't trust them.
By the way, I said on this podcast, the week she was at the ranch, I think that's it for Tiffany Stratton. We see her next at the Royal Rumble. Everything that's happened since,
it kind of leads
me to believe that's happening.
It does. It does seem like that. I think that'd be the next thing for her. I think she's ready for it. I think
absolutely.
She's one of the people. It's weird. I don't think Tiffany Stratton's necessarily done a lot in NXT. I mean, she's been the champion, but I mean, she's not like a bra and breaker.
No.
I feel like she's also done everything she can do in NXT. I don't really think there's a whole lot of. I don't really care to see her like necessarily try to win the title again. I'm ready for her to go to the main roster.
I don't know that at this stage in her career, and with that gimmick, that's a championship gimmick, but it's a main roster gimmick. And it's one that's going to do very well on the main roster. Very well.
What makes it, this is my thing with the Tiffany Stratton character is it, the thing that makes it beautiful for the main roster is it's very easy to get. I understand who she is. I understand what she's about. But then when she needs to, she'll be able to sort of let it go and go into just being a Tiffany Stratton instead of being a character. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where it's not like she's going to have to suddenly change who she is, but she can kind of slowly drift away from being like Bailey going, I'm not a hugger anymore, and now I'm moving on, and now she's just Bailey. Like, that's a very easy one where maybe she says toodles a little less, but yeah, she's still Tiffany Stratton.
Maybe that time on the ranch taught her humility and humbleness. And now she's going to be salt here.
Time to spend any time on a ranch. It'll be tough times. Baby I says, Fallon is a wink heel now because Jack says so. Not just Fallon Henley, ranchers.
So you don't like Jolly Ranchers?
You know, there was a time when a popular candy was going to blow up, Glenn. It was called Happy Farmers. Then Jolly Ranchers came around and stole our thunder.
Oh, I thought you meant the candy was literally going to blow up like Airheads. Like, it explodes. Not Airheads. What's the one? What are they called? Zaps? Zip? There's one where you suck it, and then, like, it's like an Alka-Seltzer erupts when you get to the center.
You speaking of, like, what were they? Squirts? Is that what you're talking about?
Or no, like... squirts are different. These ones literally have, I can't remember what they're called. Super good. Super good. Anyhow.
I like anything with those. But how did you feel about Lash Legend and Ren Sinclair?
Okay, so Ren Sinclair, interesting story that Cora Jade gets injured in a match. And by the way, Cora Jade, get well soon. I know you're going in for surgery today. Cora Jade gets injured in a match, a house show match with Ren. And then they use that as the opportunity to give Ren that slot in the Battle Royal last week. And then Ren gets this match tonight. So she got beat down, but then after the match, she lost the match, got beat down after, but then saved by Fallon Henley, which was nice. I think it's nice to form an alliance there. But I like Ren. Clean wrestling style. Good look.
And I will say the pairing, what I like is if these two are going to be a pair, if they're going to be a tag team, they look the part. Because obviously Ren with like the jean style gear, and then that's going to fit the rancher style of Fallon Henley. I've said this before, but I want to make it official on Wrestling Inc. 2024 breakout star of the year, Lash Legend. Calling it now. She's going to be the person when we look back at the end of the year, we're gonna be like, man, Lash Legend, where she really improved. She's great. I think Lash Legend's going to be breakout star of the year.
I could see it happening. You know, I actually thought she might win the Battle Royal last week.
Yeah. So keep an eye on that. But I want to go back to something we talked about earlier. Old Joe Gacy. Yes. Joe Gacy and Dijak had a match, and he's using his power of crazy for good as he attacks Dijak. They're beating each other up like crazy all around the ring. I am loving this Joe Gacy. I feel like unpredictability is exciting and fun, and I don't think there's anyone less predictable right now than Joe Gacy.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm surprised he wasn't parking cars or running the coat check booth tonight in one of his random cameos, but I thought this fight with him and Dijak, this brawl was good. I'm curious where it's going. I mean, Gacy's, they're still playing him like he's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Dijak with his brand of hard justice, we'll see how this, I don't even think that's his gimmick anymore, but I'll never forget it, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Isn't that a TNA pay-per-view, by the way?
Sounds like one. Sounds like a lot of things. Anyhow.
That's my PG title. With Dijak, I love Dijak, but he's one of those guys that is kind of getting stuck in that second or third level boss character mode.
Yeah, definitely.
Like where he's tough, he's going to beat you up, it's going to be rough, but he's kind of the guy that you get through before going on to your next adventure.
Speaking of which, we had Von Wagner tonight with Mr. Stone going to do some training at Von Wagner's old stomping grounds. And I like that Mr. Stone arranged some time for Von Wagner to spend time with Von Wagner's kids that Mr. Stone is raising for him.
That's part of being a manager, Glenn. You didn't know that? You should see all the work that Paul Heyman's doing for Roman's family when Roman's busy defending the title.
I mean, I don't know that this is kayfabe, the story, but ever since he went over to his house and Mr. Stone's kids looking just like Von Wagner, in my headcanon now, that is 1,000% the case.
You know, Captain Lou famously was able to put kids to bed very quickly. He's great with children. Again, the main part of being a manager is taking care of the wrestler's children.
It was Super Mario. So.
I mean, that was, Paul Heyman, what got him where he is. I mean, really, Brock Lesnar made Paul Heyman a famous manager because Paul Heyman told the best bedtime stories, you know? And that's why it translates onto the mic so well. He's just really good at it. That's what these guys are really good at. But yeah, I like Joe Gacy. I like what he's doing. It's fun. Von Wagner and Robert Stone. I feel like I like the video. Every time I see one of these videos, I like this video. But I'm just at a point where I feel like, haven't we been doing these videos for like 9 months? I feel like he wrestles less than Roman Reigns. And then it's like 6 months of these videos. And I'm just like, Wagner, you got to start getting some dubs, man. You got to get wins.
Well, the Heritage Cup, if he can figure out the rules, I think he could win the match.
Well, no one's beaten my guy Noam Dar, the greatest champion in WWE right now. So I like the video. I like the video. Whenever they do the videos, I'm like, this is great. But I'm kind of to a point where, like, is this just a sideshow where they have like Robert Stone and Von Wagner buddy TV show, or are they ever going to actually have matches? Someone who didn't have a match, but again, like I said, I love Noam Dar. Supernova Sessions live from the moon. By the way, the moon looks amazingly like the NXT Performance Center, Glenn. They have Lola Vice on. She's the guest. She's like, look, my friendship with Electra Lopez is about to end no matter what. But then Electra Lopez comes out, and I think this was Electra Lopez is always one of those people, like, she's been good. I get it. I get why she's on TV. I felt like this promo to me was like a star-making performance for her. This was a steamy promo. I thought it was incredible. Burning down Vice City. I think that Electra Lopez really stamped her ticket tonight. Do you think that she did a great job, or am I overstating this?
I mean, it's interesting, right? Like, I think the feud between them, I'm really invested in this, and it's amazing how they went from being a great pairing together as allies to being enemies. But yeah, this was hot. This was good.
Yeah. Alicia A says Electra Lopez was awesome. I feel like she was awesome. I think that she really did a great job. I think that this is one of those situations. Lola's going to win because she has that contract. I mean, it'd be kind of lame that the next contender for the championship gets beat up by her friend.
I bet they put it on the line for the match, though.
Oh, that would be interesting. I'd like to see that. But I thought, like I said, I was really impressed by this promo. I think Lola Vice is clearly a star. I think you see that with the way the social media reacts whenever she's on screen, whenever she's doing something, people get behind her. I felt like when she was in the breakout tournament, everyone was picking her to win the whole thing. I think she has a lot of star power. I want to know your thoughts on Noam Dar, though, because I've been a fan of his since NXT UK. I think he is clever. I think he's funny. I think he's absolutely natural in everything he does. He's also weird and different. Like, he's not just a wrestler who cuts a promo. Tell me about your five favorite things about Noam Dar in order.
One, the name. I like any name that is not pronounced how it reads.
Yes.
Two, I like my conspiracy theory that the reason the Heritage Cup rules are so complicated is because if people can't figure him out, they can't defeat him. You know, it's kind of like you have to wrap your mind around that before you even wrestle him. Figure out how to make a win. Three would be the cup itself. Because I think that, you know, it's functional in addition to being a trophy, so which is always good. I like functional trophies. That helps. Four would be the metaphor right there in the name. Great pairing.
Metaphor's entrance, by the way, one of the top in the game right
Very
now.
Well produced. Well, I was going to say that's number five would be the entrance.
The entrance, their entrance is so good. I love the little touches, too, about how now the Heritage Cup is encased and chained down whenever he has his back turned to it. I love that's long-term storytelling. It got stolen once, so now he's chaining it down. You know, I'm a big fan of the graps, Glenn. I love the wrestling. I'm a nerd. I like it when wrestling.
I would hope so if you're doing this podcast, Jack. I've been doing this for 7.5 years, and I'm only lukewarm on wrestling, so I would hope you love the wrestling.
Well, I would say there are certain people, like our mutual friend Raj, for instance. He cares more about boxing.
What's the easiest choice you can make? window instead of middle seat, picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket, outsourcing business tasks you hate. What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Office and numbers and like ticket sales and stuff.
Shocking. Raj is all about the money.
Yes. And so some people are like, hey, I just like the promos. I like the characters. I like the rest. I like when someone's a great wrestler. And so I actually really like the Heritage Cup. Again, it hasn't been presented very well on American television, I don't think, but the UK version, it was actually, their matches were really fun to watch.
Yeah.
I do have a feeling that if I'm worried that once Noam Dar loses the title, loses that cup, it kind of loses its everything. Like, it doesn't really have a point anymore. Like,
well, he didn't have a point anymore after he lost it the last time. But let me give you number six of what I love about Noam Dar.
Okay.
The way he says Alicia Fox.
Yeah, that's, I do like, I like everything about Noam Dar, man. He's fantastic to me. He entertains me. He's a delight. He actually wrestles really well. Noam Dar, I think, is a little hidden gem they have. And I could see him being one of those guys that eventually gets called up to the main roster. And it's sort of like I don't want to compare it to R-Truth, because R-Truth is like all time good, but like one of those guys who's entertaining, silly, has matches, entertains you a lot, maybe not Roman Reigns, but like is always going to have that part that just entertains you on the show.
Yeah.
As time goes on. And he looks like he's going to end up facing Josh Briggs. We'll talk about him in a second. But for now, we had a couple things that kind of came together. We alluded to it before. The family got beat up by Out of the Mud at their own restaurant. And that bled into Scripps having a match with Dragon Lee that eventually got messed up because the family came to get some retribution. Dragon Lee got the win. And then Obafemi is now saying, okay, Dragon Lee, you get a title shot. This is where we like to say lots of business was done here.
Yeah, Glenn. A lot of business.
Lots of stuff. But I want to start with the family. We talked about them a little bit ago. This is like the first time the family sort of got beat at their own game, attacked in their restaurant by a rival gang. And
Jada Parker, man. Yeah. Jada Parker is bringing out the mud, not only out the mud, but to another level.
Yeah, does that mean problems for Scripps? I mean, he takes the L here. He wasn't able to get his team a win when the titles were on the line. And now, she's kind of doing everything Scripps is supposed to do. If you're Scripps, are you worried that you might get beat out of the gang?
I mean, he's still got the mask and the voice changer, so he's got something to fall back on.
I don't think he wants to go back to writing poems. I think he's... You know, I think that he wants to stay where he's at. But I think if I'm Scripps, I'm worried. I'm like, hey, she's doing everything I was supposed to do, but she's successful at it. Alicia A in the chat, by the way, is saying the family couldn't stand for the disrespect that was shown to them. So they got some retribution, and they're going to get some payback potential six-man tag or six-person tag. And again, Scripps is left on the outside coming up for that one. But I want to talk about Obafemi. I see superstar in Obafemi, Glenn. I see big time potential from him. I think he's good on the microphone. I think he has a presence. I think that he has a look. I think the way he wrestles is incredible. Superstar potential, still very early to say strap the rocket to him, but man, from what I've seen from him, they got something with Obafemi.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think his presence is great. They're booking him really well so far. And I want to see Adriana Rizzo and Jada Parker have a great one-on-one match. I like the heat.
I don't know Rizzo outside of NXT.
No, I don't either.
Is she new to wrestling? Is she one of like the is she just from NXT, or does she have a, do we know, does she have like an indie background or something?
I think she did wrestle before.
Cause I wonder if maybe that's why they're not throwing her into a singles match right away. And maybe kind of, you know, doing the Rumble and then doing like the tag match, if they're trying to sort of hide that, because she seems like she has a lot of personality. I could see her very easily being someone that people latch on to. Spencer Webb saying, I'm an Oba feminist. I love it. Baby Ice says, I have no idea who Rizzo was before NXT. I don't know if she's, maybe she has wrestled. I don't know. But, I feel like Oba Femi is going to do big things. I feel like Rizzo is going to do, I feel like there's a lot of cool stuff in this segment. I don't know if this was the biggest segment of the night, but definitely an interesting one. Another thing that happened was Idris and Malik, they're bummed out about losing. And then Brinley Reese comes out. And she tries to pump them up, tells them about writing in their journals and getting excited. And they're like, look,
she's great. Brinley Reese is phenomenal.
This is my prediction of these three. And I want you to tell me if I'm off my rocker. I'm very positive about this episode or this event tonight, by the way. This is my prediction of what we're going to see with these three. Idris, Malik, and Brinley. We're going to see an initial backlash of people not getting it, not being behind them. And then I think in a few weeks, maybe months, they are going to be the most popular group in NXT. I think everyone's going to love them. I think it's going to be very Chase U-like, where everyone's kind of like, what is this? This is silly. And then the world got behind them. I think that this group, whatever they're going to call themselves, is going to become wildly popular in NXT.
Yeah, no, I could see that. I think this has a perfect gimmick for NXT, perfect pairing for NXT.
Because I think that Idris and Malik, they've got comedy chops. They can wrestle really well, too. Like, they're very believable. They're all in great shape. And I think that the combination of Brindley being so positive and them being like, okay, this is, you're a little much. I think it works out great. And I think that this is going to be popular. In the chat or anyone listening, let me know what you think of Idris, Malik, and Brindley. That'll be our question of the day. Throw that in the comment section. If you think I'm off my rocker thinking that they're going to be great, or if you agree that you think that that's going to be the tag team or group that really blows up this year. Shout out to the Tornado T5. Hello, Jack and Glenn.
Yeah.
Quick matchup here. Blair Davenport takes on Petrovic. This was set up because of the Battle Royal. I appreciate that they let us know that's why these two are having a matchup. Blair Davenport, pretty dominant win here. Not much to write home about from the match standpoint, but I'm very curious about your thoughts. One, on Blair Davenport's ceiling and where she kind of fits into NXT right now. And also Petrovic, who's, I feel like, has the look and is interesting, but for some reason kind of gets smoked every time she's in the ring.
Yeah, I thought, I get what they're doing with Blair, and that Blair, they're trying to build up more of her dominance. I'm curious what is going on with Nikita Lyons. Since her match was 2 weeks ago against Blair, where it looked like maybe her knee. I know kayfabe, they had her working the knee. Someone saw an Instagram story that she was wearing a knee brace again. I hope she's okay and medically cleared.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately that story ends with Nikita going over. So this makes sense to keep Blair looking as dominant as possible. But that being said, Petrovic, I think, is amazing. I love her gimmick. I love her look. I love her wrestling style. I think that these losses aren't going to hurt Petrovic in the long run, because when they decide to pull the trigger with her, I think she's going to be a top-level NXT superstar.
Yeah. You know who I feel like she'd be a good tag team with is Stevie Turner. We haven't seen her much in
What's
a while.
What's up with Stevie Turner?
She's fantastic. I don't know why she's not on TV, but I feel like her and Petrovic would be a great tag team because they both have this cool kind of video game look. The reason I like Petrovic, and I say the look, is I always said, could I see her on a poster or like a match graphic? And she has that kind of cool ninja with the sword look.
Kind of Kill Bill look.
Yeah. She looks cool. She's someone that I think, I always say if I'm watching the Royal Rumble and I have friends over who don't watch pro wrestling and she comes down the ring, they're going to go, oh, who's that? That's someone interesting.
Here's my test for wrestlers. And this is what, I don't think we've had this conversation, Jack, but let me tell you why women's wrestling is better than men's wrestling. Women wrestlers understand fundamentally the importance of having a visual representation of your character. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is if you're playing a fighting game and you take the men's roster, the women's roster, you take any of it, you cannot tell me that the bold hairstyles, the bold color choices, the very unique way that they each present themselves, you cannot tell me that you would not be more inclined to choose a woman on the NXT roster based on the visual representation of their character being unique and clearly defined versus a male wrestler on the roster. And I said this, you know, what crystallized this for me was back when Bianca Belair was in NXT. You can't tell me that if Bianca Belair was a character in Street Fighter, you wouldn't choose her and you wouldn't spam that braid attack.
Yep.
The way some people fight with Blanca, which I think is a form of cheating, but you understand what I'm saying. Like, you would spam that braid attack with Bianca in Street Fighter 2 and she would be your go-to character.
Yeah, I always say it's the toyetic. Is that the phrase where I feel like if you had all these characters as toys, you absolutely understand who all of them are, as opposed to if I have a Goldberg toy, a Stone Cold toy, a, you know, Ryback toy, and you're like, okay, they're...
And it's not all of them, but it's a higher ratio. It's a higher percentage of the female wrestlers look like clearly defined characters. Petrovic definitely falls into that. And Toyetic, I like you say, and let me just put it really simple. I think the majority of women's wrestlers in WWE look like superheroes. And I don't mean that like, oh, they're built like, you know, immortal figures. I mean, no, they look like they could be in the X-Men.
And to your point, I love that if there's a four-way match, right, and you've got, again, people who've never watched wrestling, and you've got Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair versus Bianca Belair versus Roxanne Perez, you can instantly pick one and go, yeah, that's the one I want to win for whatever reason, because they all are so visually different and they all are so clearly different characters. And I think you make a strong point there. It'd be hard to argue that. We do have a few points on here. Adam So Tokyo says that he's also an OBA feminist. So I love to see that. Reaper Brink says Blair Davenport is kind of real light. I don't know if I'd say that, but
I think Blair is, her character has gotten more defined. She had an amazing gift, an opportunity, and that was being revealed as the NXT parking lot attacker. That is NXT lore to the utmost. I think she's still behind who attacked what's his face back in the day when Kevin Owens said it's a damn shame. She's been doing it that long. Yeah. She's the reason Samoa Joe said get better security. She's just been biding her time. So I think that that is a huge role to inherit as far as lore and legacy. And I don't think she nailed it that at first, but I think it's working out now. And that's part of why they're making her so.
So hopefully that continues to go well for her. We had a quick moment where Ridge Holland, he reminds us, you know, he's a family man, so he's going to fight all of Gallus by himself. Glenn, this was one, I always feel like, you know, you're a video game guy, so I feel like this is a good reference for you.
Sure.
When you have a great promo or a character setting moment like Ridge Holland did, where he had that, like, hey, I'm a family guy, I'm trying to provide for my family and kids or whatever, you've got like this little energy bar, and every week it's going down, and it's going down before you start getting wins, before you start doing something that matters.
It depleted to zero originally with the, like, I'm cursed working in real life tragedy. It started off on the worst footing possible.
I mean, I liked when he was talking about trying to provide for his kids. I enjoyed that. But
love that. That's real. That's good. But the way they tried to work in, he's cursed because he's been getting injured. Is like, at first he was injuring people, and then he's cursed because he's getting injured. Like, this has been handled.
My thing here is that promo and the whole start of this was weeks ago. And so again, as I say all the time, you got to get dubs, you got to get wins. And we haven't seen him actually do anything in the ring yet to sort of back up that, you know, this is who he is. And so that interest level is getting further and further in the rear view before next time he goes out there, it's just Ridge Holland again. You know what I mean? So I don't know if beating all of Gallus on his own is the way to do it, but they got to find a way to pivot the, I care about you being a family man, into you're a wrestler I want to see win a match.
Yeah.
Pretty quick.
Ridge Holland as a person, I want to see do well, mm-hmm. based on the unfortunate situation that he had a hand in, and that psychologically must take a toll mm-hmm. on somebody. I'm talking about Big E and his injury. I want to see Ridge do well. I don't like that for storyline purposes, they've exploited.
Yeah.
Or they were doing that before they walked it back a little bit. I still feel a little weird about it all.
Anytime injuries are involved, it gets a little
wonky.
But I want to talk about a bigger part of the show that happened. And this was throughout a few segments. So first off, Ilya Dragunov is having an interview when Josh Briggs shows up and says he wants a shot at the title. Trick Williams tries to talk him out of it because he doesn't want Dragunov to get hurt again. That leads to a Briggs versus Trick Williams match. Good hard hitting match. Briggs gets the win, or Trick gets the win. Briggs flattens him after the match. And now there's some tension between Carmelo and Trick again because of the way everything's going. Broad strokes here, Glenn. I believe Trick Williams and Carmelo Hayes and what they've been doing for the past few months across the board is the most intriguing story that wrestling's been telling over the past few months.
And I like this idea of Carmelo. I don't know what he's hoping to gain getting in Trick's head with this, but I think that at Vengeance Day, 1 week from this Sunday, I think we're going to finally have the split and their feud can really begin. Not in a slip on a banana peel, explain it away, and they're back hugging each other next week. I think that they're going to lose. Potentially, I think Trick could lose twice next week at Vengeance Day, and then the Trick Carmelo feud begins. Or Trick wins the championship and Carmelo turns on him after.
You know, this is my theory. Carmelo Hayes is looking out for Trick. I think that this is all in Trick's head. I think Carmelo's done nothing to actually do anything wrong by Trick. That's the beauty.
This is all a misunderstanding. We're all just reading into it too much.
I think so. Carmelo's never steered me wrong. I will never. You know, Issa's got her Roman Reigns. Raj has got his box office numbers. You've got your Yellow Jackets. I've got my...
It's been off the air for like almost a year. Like, it's coming back in 25, though. It's happening. And Issa, I want to restate, doesn't trust horses.
So, you know, I don't trust horses either. You know why?
Because they're on a ranch.
They're on ranches. That's right.
I get it. I understand now the quirks of the Wrestling Inc. podcast hosts, everybody.
I think Trick Williams is going to be a generational star. I think Carmelo Hayes is the same way, but I love the little line here. That was a trick question. That is a bit. That is a bit, Glenn, that is seriously career bit.
Oh, yeah. He should start everything with trick question. And then, wait, is the question a trick, or is it because Trick's asking me the question? Oh, I get it, because your name is... Okay, got it. But you should say trick question.
That could be this generation's It Doesn't Matter. Yeah. Like, that, you know, where he says something, and they go to answer that. That was a trick question, and everyone, loses it. Like, that is... he said that, I was like, that is brilliant.
That's
that
up
is,
there with WWE stands for Walk with Elias, where it's like, why did you wait so long to figure this out?
Like, it's so good. They've got something with that line. Mm-hmm. We're getting long in the tooth here on the show. So I just really want to quick say, I like Josh Briggs. I feel like Josh Briggs has grown on me so much since his tag team. I love him as just the big bruiser. I love that they had JBL there because that's who everyone's comparing him to anyways. So, last week JBL, but,
Well, did you hear, because you do an NXT podcast that's really in-universe. Issa and my theory is that JBL bought a bunch of cheap condos up, and he rents them out to NXT talents. That's like a JBL real estate side hustle. And that's why he was there to tell people he's raising their rent.
That would be so JBL, by the way, to do that. That would be absolutely JBL.
Yes, but Trick won tonight, rightfully so, over Josh Briggs dragging off on commentary. It's a good match.
And then we added this other bit. Chase U going out of business. Everything's getting taken from him. And as someone who graduated from the Art Institute of California, the only person I'm worried about is all those students with these loans that are worthless.
Oh, wait, so you're a stranger to the for-profit college business.
Yes. Yeah, so I am not sympathetic to you, Chase. You not sympathetic at
what
all.
What's JC Jane's plan?
I don't know, but this is my favorite thing about this. So Lexus King beats Trey Bearhill.
Yeah.
Good for him. But that segment afterwards with Lexus King, Riley Osborne, JC Jane, and Thea Hale is a love square. What's the much ado about nothing? Go read a book, everybody. A situation that I think is ready to pop. That is so great about how you have this pure and wholesome Riley Osborne, pure and wholesome Thea Hale. Then you've got this slimy, like gross Lexus King. And you've got JC Jane, who has a bit of a history of being like that herself. And it obviously you think Lexus King and JC Jane, they'd be great. Thea Hale and Riley Osborne, they'd be great. But this is wrestling. It never goes great. It's like a soap opera. The wrong people getting hooked up with the wrong. This could be a brilliant little love affair situation, Glenn. I'm wildly fascinated about this.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm worried about Thea Hale. I'm sure she's taking this harder than anyone.
I hope that it'll be fun to see how that plays out. Before we get to the main event, which is the contract signing, real quick, no quarter catch crew.
NQCC.
I think I wanted your thoughts on this group, and also. The thing that I don't really enjoy about it is that these guys are all about, hey, we're the best fighters. We can beat anybody. We're not about entertaining. We're about winning matches. By the way, we always want a special little thing that makes it so we get to surprise you with whoever is fighting so you can't prepare because we like an advantage. Like, it feels weird. It's a weird thing to me. I don't know.
I mean, the problem is you have them as a group of four. There's no other group of four males on the roster. So there's not another faction for them to feud with cleanly. We'll see what happens. I think with the NQCC, I have a feeling this is no disrespect to either gentleman, but this is like going to live in that layer somewhere between Nathan Frazier and Axiom and like Dragon Lee and Eddie Thorpe and Dijak. And I hope Eddie Thorpe rises above that. I think Eddie mm-hmm. Thorpe is a future world champion, certainly a future NXT champion, but this feels like a very mid card for NXT, like hard hitting cruiserweight classic spirit lives on strong style hybrid. Good. Yeah. But is it great though? Is it great television? And I say that because NXT is great television.
NXT is fantastic television. I agree. It feels, we talk about Dijak being like a third level boss. This feels a little bit first, second level boss. These guys. And
wow, Glass Joe.
I mean, because also Drew Gulak is a great wrestler, but
yeah,
I don't remember the last time he won a match, you know? So it's
not really known, more known for his PowerPoint presentations than his win streak.
He was fantastic in, as a guide in NXT. In WWE 2K.
Yeah, absolutely, dude. He should do this tutorial every year. I love Drew Gulak. Bring back the PowerPoint. Yeah.
The pieces are great. And in fact, Damon Kemp, I think, has a pretty good ceiling as well, as like a good, like a guy who can wrestle, but also very entertaining, knows how to be the jerk. You know, I think he's good at pushing buttons and things like that. How often do these kind of groups work? Like in my head, I feel like it sounds cool. Like the idea of this sounds cool to me. And I feel like William Regal will join them. Not a big stretch because obviously Dempsey's in the group. That's the group I think is going to cause problems for Ava Raine. But I feel like it's one of those things in my head, it sounds great. But then when it comes down to actually building interest and rivalries, it never really feels like it connects, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think it's something that I get why they're working so hard to establish them, make it happen. And it definitely serves the, oh, okay. I'm going to say this. It's a faction and a style of wrestling. And by the way, this isn't the only thing, but there's like a certain subset of NXT where they go like, well, this appeals to the AEW style audience,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to a more general Tony D'Angelo is meant to be people that want entertaining TV with some wrestling. Yeah. Whereas others serve to just be like, well, this is really good wrestling. I've said this though, again and again in the year 2024, if your gimmick is you're a really good wrestler, you don't have a gimmick.
Well, because if you're at the WWE level of any of them, if you're on Level Up, you're a good wrestler. Yeah. you're figuring
everything else out.
They don't take someone like, you're really bad at this, but you know what? Let's give you a spot on our crowded roster.
If you have a good enough gimmick, you know what? That's the point.
Well, that's the difference.
The point. You can have, if you're the best gimmick and promo and your wrestling is meh, they'll work around that. If you're the best wrestler and you can't hold people's attention on the mic, you got problems.
We were talking about me and Flobo Boyce, who is a host here for Wrestling Inc., talking about Nikki A.S.H. And you were looking back at that character. And we were saying how, regardless of how you look back at Nikki A.S.H., you know what? She was on TV every week.
Yeah.
Like
that says something.
You know, so there's something to it. Somebody who uses...
And it's great when they're both. Like, R-Truth is a phenomenal wrestler, but it's like he doesn't have to wrestle. That's not why you put him on TV most of the time.
And it goes to the top, too, by the way. Roman Reigns is a phenomenal character. It's not just he's, a guy who points to the ceiling. Like, he is a mob boss who gaslights people. That is, he's a character, is what he is. And the same, Seth Rollins is a character. They're all characters. You got to have that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this main event segment before.
We got to the 1 hour mark, so we're gonna hit. We got approved for a few extra minutes before
the man shuts us down. They said finish now, and we said no. The Wrestling Inc. audience deserves.
It's on my time. In any case, we got Lyra Valkyria versus a sign a contract with Tatum Paxley.
With Roxanne Perez. Tatum Paxley.
Roxanne Perez. I'm sorry. Yes, Roxanne Perez starts off friendly, gets testy. They sign, and then Tatum Paxley, who thought she was supposed to help Lyra, attacks Roxanne. And I'll let you talk.
Sorry.
I have my thoughts. You seem excited. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yes, because what they did in that backstage segment earlier when Lyra Valkyria said, Tatum, what we had last week was great, but that was a one-time thing. You and me, I don't think this is going to work. You know, like she was breaking up with her. That was phenomenal. And then Tatum Paxley shows up at the end. She's like, Lyra, I helped you. And pushing her. Like, this is TV, people.
Yes. It was great in that sometimes the obvious is good. Like, it was so obvious that backstage moment where she's like, are we on the same page? And she's like, yeah. We're on the same page, and they're not like, and so like,
Tatum Paxley's Homer Simpson all of a sudden,
but it was perfect. You're like, yes, this is great. And then when she comes out, and you're like you can see how this is going to play out, but it's in such a good way that like, it's funny because when they were doing this, the contract sign at first, I was like, this was bad to put at the end because it's not that interesting. To be fair, it's two
people
who are like, I respect you, but I'm better. Well, I respect you, but I'm better. But then they ended it pretty good. I was like, this is solid. But then the Tatum Paxley thing happens. I'm like, oh, this just got very interesting. NXT is very good about saying we're going to walk it right up to the edge, and then we're going to push it just a little bit over the side.
Where was the lawyer? Where was what's his face?
Lucian. Is it Lucian?
Yeah, he should have been out there negotiating this.
You know, that's another character that I think will have legs once he gets going. A lawyer character is smart. Like, that's a great idea. And I know, I think Mark Sterling kind of does that. And I feel like Paul Heyman sort of walks that line sometimes. But...
I had an idea. Here's the thing. I'm going to be 48 soon, Jack. I don't have the patience to go to law school. I would have to go to college and then law school. 7 years.
You should go to Chase U.
I could. But on the other hand, what if I change Rubenstein to my middle name and make my last name Esquire? So I'll be Glenn Rubenstein Esquire. And I won't tell anyone I'm an attorney. But if anyone wants to make an assumption and take my opinion more seriously, all the better.
I think you should roll with it. I mean, I'd believe it. Like, I wouldn't question it at all.
I did watch 7 years of L.A. Law as a child, so I think I know a thing or two about legal proceedings.
We could be partners because I watched a ton of Judge Judy. See? And so I basically am a lawyer at this point, I think.
I think it works that way. And I'm not saying I'm going to try cases or give qualified legal advice, but I'm saying that, you know, maybe when somebody gives me something to sign and they know, you know, I got Esquire at the end of my name, maybe they think they can't get one over on me and I have a little bit of an advantage.
You know, I see a lot of these ads where they're like, we only get paid if you win. I just think, let's just not say that. And then it doesn't even matter, you know?
No, like, our slogan will be, we only get paid.
We only get paid. And then if we lose a lot, I don't care. As long as I get paid, whatever.
Hey,
they're the one going to jail. I don't care.
Farmer and Rubenstein, we only get paid.
We only get paid. What's your win-loss record? Forget about it.
As long as we get paid, I think we're good. We have 100% track record of getting paid.
We have fought for every one of our clients. Do they win?
We fought. Sometimes with the client to get make sure we get paid. It was a bit of a sticking point when they found out that my last name was Esquire. I'm not actually an attorney. But rest assured, we got paid by the client.
Yeah, and I don't have anything in my name about being a lawyer. I just say, yeah, and me too.
As far as contract signings go, this is about as good as they get tonight. Mm-hmm. And highly entertaining NXT. Look, I think last week was better. I think last week was an A. Tonight, people.
Yeah, this one, I thought it moved a lot of parts. It did a lot of stuff. It got me intrigued with a lot of things. Overall, I enjoyed it. Everyone in the chat, let me know what you thought. Also in the comment section, why don't you let us know what you thought of the show? If you've made it this far into the review, thank you so much. Let me know, leave a comment if you made it this far in the show, just so I know how many people listen this long. Glenn,
let's have a secret word. And if people put it in the comments, oh, here we go. If everybody comments lumberjack in the comments, we'll know you made it to the end.
Yes, lumberjack. So just leave a comment that says lumberjack, and I'll check and I'll respond to you and I'll say, hey, lumberjack.
You're the hardcore. You're the lumberjacks. You're the that's what you should call your fans, Jack Farmer. The lumberjacks.
The lumberjacks. I like it. Let's do it. Okay. Glenn, where can the world find you online? And any final thoughts on the show?
I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. Long live NXT. Going to the CW. Former home of Riverdale. It's gonna be good.
Gonna be good stuff. Don't you have a show you do?
Oh yeah, Gigantic Pop. That's another podcast I do about stuff. And then I also do Game Boys to Men with Jeff Gerstmann on his Patreon. So man, I feel like I talk a lot. And that's like in general, but also on the air.
Yeah, I'm unbearable in person. True. We got a Beard Money, by the way, says solid show, no comment on Okada coming to NXT. I feel like I haven't seen official word on
speculation.
That
speculation. Yeah.
I don't like to comment on things if it's still like in that speculation phase or there hasn't been. There are certain people I wait to report it before I start feeling like it's worth talking about. I'll put it that way.
I think after today it'll be interesting what happens next, but hey, Royal Rumble this weekend, AEW tomorrow night, SmackDown Friday. Yeah, we're gonna be back Friday.
In fact, our overlords in Static Media Tower have me working extra this week. I'm doing tomorrow's show for AEW Dynamite after show and SmackDown's after show. So I'm not leaving the office. I'm going to be here talking about wrestling all week. So that'll be fun. By the way, follow me at Real Jack Farmer while you're out there. And you can see me. I like to live tweet shows sometimes. Sometimes I'll start and then I get distracted and I don't, but follow me there. That's always a good time. You can also see where I'm doing all my other stuff. Like I do ring announcing and commentary for wrestling and MMA and stuff. So that's cool there too. But I think that does it for us, Glenn. I think I'm going to sign us off. Any last words?
Have a great week, everyone.
All right.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big money.